question.
Cause nobody wants to see Biden no more. They want Trump. I'm shot liver. Well, if you want Trump, this is what I'll give ya. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor. Some vodka that'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shot when I get shot at the hospital by the doctor. When I'm not cooperating. When I'm rocking the table, well, he's operating. You waited as long, now stop the fading. Cause I'm back, I'm loaded red and ovulating. I know that you got a job, Miss Malozzi, but your husband's heart problem's complicating. So the FCC won't let me be, or let me be me, so let me see. They try to shut me down on my Twitter, but it feels so empty without me. So come on and hit, bump on your lips, fuck that, cover your lips, and shuffle your tits, and get ready, cause this shit's about to get heavy. Just settle all the lawsuits. Fuck you, Nancy! Yeah. This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, cause we need a little controversy, cause it feels so empty without me. I said, this looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, cause we need a little controversy, cause it feels so empty without me.
President Donald J. Trump.
That was great. What a good job. I've known this gentleman for 7 years. I've never heard him make a speech. I'm with him all the time. He talked. That was a very good speech. Thank you very much. Great job. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So, we're here and we start. We begin. And I want to thank New Hampshire for the warm welcome outside there. Literally thousands of people. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're all, and no negatives, all positives. And it's really beautiful, and it's a great welcome, and I'm thrilled to be back in this beautiful state that we all love, so near and dear to my heart. I want to take a moment to salute your incredible outgoing chairman. Steve, what a job you've done. You really got a great job. Steve, stepping up. 2 terms, outstanding service to the New Hampshire GOP, and Steve, just congratulations and a job well done. You work so hard. He loves the state. He loves the people of the state. And we all love you, Steve, and that's why I'm going to be making an announcement about Steve. Should I do it or should I just leave it? I'm really excited to do this because I know so many people. And so many people would like to do it, but Steve is going to be stepping down and he'll be coming on board as the senior advisor for my New Hampshire campaign. He's going to help us to ensure that we have a win in the Granite State in 2024. We stop the communists, we stop the Marxists. If we don't stop them this time, I think that's going to be the end. I really do. I believe that. I believe that we have to stop them and we have to stop them quickly. Although your next state chairman has not been announced, I believe they're going to be doing that right after this. I want to congratulate both candidates, Lou and Chris, 2 incredible guys, for having the courage to step forward and serve. You'll be hearing about that shortly. Let me also thank the New Hampshire House Speaker, Sherm Packard. Sherm. Sherm. Nice looking guy. Central casting, very good. Isn't he really? House Majority Leader Jason Osborne. Jason. Hi, Jason. How are you? Thank you. Great job, Jason. Deputy House Majority Leader Fred Doucette. Fred. Hello, Fred. You know, they're shy politicians. That means they do their job. You know, the ones that aren't shy, they don't do their job. They sit down, they don't have to get up, because everyone knows the great job they've done. Thank you very much. Great job, all of you. Senate Majority Leader Sharon Carson. Sharon, thank you, Sharon. Great job, Sharon. And Executive Counselor Dave Wheeler. Dave. Thank you very much. As someone who has won the New Hampshire presidential primary not once but twice, and by the way, I believe we also won two general elections, okay, if you want to know the truth. And I believe it very strongly in plenty of other places also. But I know better than anybody what a special role the state has, the people have, and really it's a place for American presidents. And one of the things Steve told, I told him, Steve, you can help with the campaign a little bit, but what I really want is help on that final day of voting. You know, it used to be a day, right, with paper ballots. Now it's, in some cases, 64 days. How about that? We have 64 days to vote, and we have all machines. We have no paper. We have no nothing, and lots of surprises. I said, I really want the biggest help to be on election day or election period. Think of that. We have to call it an election period. Someday we'll be back to paper ballots. We'll be back to voter ID. We'll be back to doing it the way it's supposed to be, one day voting. You know, in France, they had an election. It was one day. They had 38 million people. It took one day, and by 10 o'clock at evening, all the votes were counted. You had a winner, you had a loser, and everybody said, good luck, see you next time. But we don't have that in this country anymore. We've gone crazy in so many ways. But that's why, from the very beginning, I've strongly defended New Hampshire's first in the nation primary status. I have been your defender. No, I've been your defender. And I've refused to let any Republican, and there are some, you know who they are, even think about taking that cherished status away. It's a cherished status, and they wanted to take it away. And we said, no, we're not going to do it. You see what's going on with the Democrats. They're taking lots of things away. And believe me, there are so many people looking to do harm to, and for generally no reason. You have an incredible tradition, and we're going to keep that tradition, and we guarantee it. And I said it last time, and I said it the time before, and I've lived up to that promise just as I have many other promises. So you have it. You're first, and you're going to remain first, okay? But if you look, just to try and compare, look on the other hand, lost the New Hampshire primary. Joe Biden lost it badly. And it was a very tough time. He had a humiliating fifth place defeat. And now he's taking a revenge on the voters of your state by cruelly and disgracefully trashing this beloved political tradition. It's a great tradition. And I hope you're going to remember that during the general election. Don't worry about it now. Just general election. You're going to remember that he took it away. He took it away. He's going someplace else. You know about that. Now, maybe that'll be stopped legally or through the courts. I don't know. But he wants to take it away from New Hampshire. I stand before you today and make this solemn pledge. When I'm back in the White House, I will ensure that New Hampshire remains the home of the first in nation Republican primary for many, many years to come. And I think maybe more than anything else, I've proven that I keep my promises. I've proven it more than just about any president, they say. But it's a true privilege to have this opportunity to speak with you on my very first trip back to New Hampshire. This is about the beginning, you know. This is it. We're starting. We're starting right here as a candidate for president. And you've probably seen the polls. We're really doing great, you know. Remember, I used to, in 2016, I talked about polls all the time. In 2020, I didn't have to because we didn't have a lot of competition. We had no competition. And I don't think we have competition this time either, to be honest. But I talked about the polls. And I will say that our polls, we are so far ahead in the polls, both in New Hampshire. One came out this morning, a very nice poll, we're way ahead. And one came out yesterday, a nationwide poll. And we're 35 points up, 39 points up. That's a lot. We won't play prevent defense like they do in football, though, however. You know about prevent defense? The team holds them, and there's no way they hold them for almost four quarters, and then they have to just stop them one more time, and they go to prevent, and they always lose, don't they? We don't do prevent defense. We just keep defending, and we're going to win, and we're going to win very big. But our polls have been fantastic. Everyone in this room shares the one key mission. We're going to defeat Joe Biden and the radical Democrats. These are radical left people. I think in many cases, they're Marxists and communists. And I used to say that seldom. Now I say it all the time because they are. You look at what they're doing to our country, and we're going to turn New Hampshire red on November 5th, 2024, and I hope we can have the help of everybody. Under Biden, our nation is being destroyed by a selfish, radical, and corrupt political establishment. That's what it is. Nobody even knows why. Why are they doing these things? Guys like Adam Shifty Schiff, AOC plus three. The three love it when I say that, you know. They love that. They love hearing AOC plus three. Oh, I'm one of the three, but they're bad. Crazy Nancy Pelosi and crying Chuck Schumer and the group, they're running our country right into the ground. They're destroying our country. To save America, we need a leader who's prepared to take on the forces laying waste to our country. And we need a president who is ready to hit the ground running on day one. And I hear, boy, am I hitting the ground. You know, I said, the fake news, we have a lot of news today. Some of it's fake, but some of actually are very good. Some I'm very impressed with. But they said, when I announced, I just want to put my cards on the table. Like, you know, we're playing that very big game right now, the biggest game of all, because it involves the country and the survival of the United States of America. But when I put the cards on, and then I said, all right, let's go. They said, he's not campaigning. This is like about a month ago when I announced. Well, I said, you know, I got 2 years. They said, he's not doing rallies. He's not campaigning. Maybe he's lost that step. I'm more angry now, and I'm more committed now than I ever was, because I read a story where they talked about why isn't he out there. It was like on a Friday night, and then I actually did something that night, little low-key stuff, and there is lots of work. We have great people with us, amazing people that I've met and really gotten to know, because as a non-politician, I didn't know anybody. I went to Washington. I tell the story of driving down Pennsylvania Avenue with our great First Lady. And I'm looking over and I'm saying, I saw the hotel that I built. It was very, very successful in Pennsylvania. And we had more police and more. I never saw anything like it. We're going down Pennsylvania. Crowds are cheering and just going absolutely crazy. Motorcycles all over the place. Hundreds of motorcycles. And so beautiful. Beautiful weather. Beautiful everything. I looked at our First Lady. I said, do you believe it? I'm the President of the United States. And I was never a big Washington person. You know, it wasn't my world. I was a New York person. So I didn't know the people in Washington like a politician would, who spent 25 years and then ran for president. So I had to learn, and I had to learn quick. And I've learned over 4 years. I know the great ones, and I know the not good ones. I know the rhinos that aren't going to get it done, and I know people that are going to really get it done. I had to rely on, in many cases, some rhinos that we didn't even know if they were rhinos or not. But, you know, they're more dangerous in many ways than the Democrats, I tell you. They are actually, they're more dangerous. And we have incredible people. You know, when you think of what we've done, we had the largest tax cut in the history of our country. We had the largest regulation cuts in the history of our country. We had the safest southern border in the history of our country. We had the least amount of drugs in decades and decades. Right now, it's 10 times the drugs are pouring into our southern border as when I left. Think of that, 10 times. Not 100% more. Think of that, 10 times more. It's coming in like water and cheaper than candy. Fentanyl, you buy cheaper than candy. You can go buy a candy bar, costs you much more than fentanyl. And they can kill the entire nation with it. And frankly, that's probably what they're trying to do. So we had it done, and we had a great thing going. And we had built hundreds of miles of wall. All of the things that we did to make it so good. Stay in Mexico. Nobody even heard of it. Stay in Mexico. Mexico said to us, well, we're not going to do it. I said, yes, you are. You are. They said, I said, no, no, no. You're going to do it, 100%. Then a representative came down, and I dealt with somebody, a very nice woman for the State Department. She worked with Mexico, on Mexico for 25 years. Very nice. She said, sir, you can't get these things. Stay in Mexico. They'll never agree to that. They'll never agree to any of this stuff. I also said, I want 28,000 soldiers from Mexico guarding our borders. Will you pay for it? No, we're not paying anything. And so she smiled, and not as a bad person, she smiled. She thought it was an immature ask. I said, no, we'll get it. 100 to 1. I mean, I will tell you, it's not even a chance that we won't. They said, sir, okay. Then the representative from Mexico came into the room. I'll never forget. Nice guy, too. Quality guy. And I really like, even though he's a socialist, I really like the president of Mexico. We have a very good friend. In fact, it took him a long time to call up President Biden. It took him a long time. He couldn't, you know, there were many leaders of countries that just couldn't do it. They didn't believe it, actually. Even though we were very tough on many countries, we were tougher on Russia than anybody would have been. As you know, that would have never happened. The horror show that's going on right now would have never happened. But many, many countries felt that way. They just, you know, didn't believe the result. But I said, here's what we need. We need 28,000 soldiers, and we want everybody staying in Mexico, never coming into the United States until we have them approved. So he said, no. And I said, here's what's happening. If you don't approve it, then we're going to put a tariff on all of the cars that you stole from our country to make in Mexico of 25%, and every product that's made in Mexico is going to have a tariff of 25% on it, which would amount to tens of billions of dollars for the United States. So the same gentleman, and he's a nice guy, he said, I can't believe you do that. I said, no, 100%. Here's the document right now. I'll sign it. It's a Friday. And this goes, in effect, this goes on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had the document right here. Showed him the document. He was a little surprised. He said, may I take 5 minutes and make a call? I wonder who he called. Called the president. And came back. Sir, we'd be honored to give you 28,000 soldiers. And we would be honored to keep everybody in Mexico, even the MS-13 gang members and everything, until such time as they have to. And we had it going so good. And then think of it, they didn't want, they come in, they said, come into the United States. Nobody, they stopped the wall construction. We had built hundreds of miles of wall, but they stopped the construction. 3 weeks it could have been the addition, because we added a lot more than we originally said we were going to do. We had to wait 2.5 years because the Democrats sued us. We had 11 different lawsuits. We won all of the lawsuits. I actually got a lot of the money. I took it out of the military because I considered it to be defense of our country. What's coming in is it's an onslaught, what's coming in. And we did all of those things, and then they come in, and what they've done to this country is incredible. Even staying out for medical reasons, you know all about that. Stay out for medical reasons. I mean, people are very ill, and they're coming into our country. Now they're emptying out, as you know, their prisons, and they're emptying out their mental institutions, which is, you know, they're very smart people. I dealt with the leaders of those countries. I know them all, and they're very streetwise. They're very smart. They live, and they do well. But they want, why should they pay for mental institutions when we can dump everybody into the United States? Why should they pay for prisons? It's massively expensive. It's a big portion of their budget. Why should they take care of MS-13 gang members, the worst anywhere in the world? Why should they do that when the stupid people running the United States will do it for them? And what they're doing is poisoning our country. We can't let it happen anymore. Every day, I think of the United States in a way. This never happened. This literally, I thought of this yesterday. And I said, you know, I'm coming up to a place that gets it. And maybe I should say it. And I went to my, what do you think? I went to a couple of people that have been with me a long time. It's sort of strange. But I think of the United States. Every day is April Fool's Day. And they said, sir, what do you mean by that? I don't like the sound of that. I said, well, listen to this. And I just gave a couple of ideas. We have open borders when they should be closed. It's April Fool's Day. We have prisoners, people from, as we just said, mental institutions and terrorists being dumped into our country when they should not be accepted. April Fool's Day, right? Who would do that? Who would do this? Who would allow prisoners in? He goes, Biden. He said, Brandon. You're both right. We have no voter ID when everyone wants voter ID. Even at the Democrat National Convention, they had a card on the front of them that was like bigger than their chest, with the exception of some people. They had a card. It had everything, pictures, everything. But not for the United States votes, right? So think of it. No voter ID when everyone wants it. Even the Democrats, they did a poll. 88% of Democrats want voter ID. They don't want, because they want to cheat. That's what they're best at. We have a woke military that can't fight or win, as proven in Afghanistan. And we rebuilt the entire military, but we lost, unfortunately, $85 billion of it to Afghanistan, where we stupidly gave $85 billion to these people. And we had them in check. We had them totally in check. Abdul, the head of the Taliban. Why are you speaking to him, sir? Who else do I want to speak to? Who else am I supposed to speak to? We want to end it. And I told Abdul, I said, Abdul, you're killing a lot of our people. They did a lot during the Obama administration, the snipers, they were killing our soldiers left and right, a lot of them, and the roadside bombs, you all know, because it's a very military state, very state focused on the military. I said, Abdul, you're killing a lot of people. Here's the story. If you do this anymore, we're going to hit you harder than anybody has ever been hit by this country. And that's pretty hard. We're going to hit you so hard, left and right, up and down. You're going to regret it. You have to stop. There's no more. No more. This is over a telephone conversation. Can you believe it? And yes, Your Excellency, I do understand. He called me Your Excellency. Wonder if he calls Biden. He's still there, by the way, Abdul. I can't believe his luck. Did he get lucky? Did he get lucky? And we were getting out because it was time. 21 years, right? We were getting out, but we were going to get out with pride. We were going to get out. We were going to take our military out last, not first. We took our military out. And once we took the military out, they had opened. I could just see Abdul, tough, smart guy, sitting there. Sir, they just took the military out. And he looks at the guy, probably said, this guy's the stupidest guy that can't have. They did. They took the military out first. And we left. Right now, we have many, many hundreds, maybe thousands, but hundreds of American citizens there. They're stuck. But we didn't take the equipment out, and we could have taken it out easy. And I had one of our generals that's currently there say to me, sir, I think it's cheaper to leave the equipment than to take it. $85 billion. And I said, what do you mean cheaper? We have brand new airplanes over there. You mean it's cheaper to leave a $100 million aircraft, latest and the greatest, the helicopters, brand new Apache helicopters, hardly used. It's cheaper to leave it than to fly. Yes, sir. That's when I knew that this guy wasn't too good. I said, listen, so you think it's better than we could give it a half a tank of gas, fly it to Pakistan, and then take it over here, right? Let it fly its way over, a couple of gallons extra, a couple of little bit of extra fuel, jet fuel, which today you can't get, by the way. Today he might be right. You can't get it because of us. But think of it. I said, you think it's better just to slave it? Yes, sir, I think so. So we left them 700,000 rifles of the best. We left them 70,000 vehicles, many of them armored, cost millions of dollars. Armored plate, 4 inches of steel on the bottom. You can imagine what they cost, 70,000. I don't know if anyone's in the car business, but I have a friend who's very big in the business. I said, did you ever have a car lot with 70,000 cars? He said, 70,000? If we have 200, we consider that oversupplied. I said, 70,000, think of it. And binoculars, they never fight. You know, they're very good fighters, the Taliban, but they never fight at night because they don't have binoculars. We have given them brand new, thousands of binoculars, better than what we have, far better than what we have, because they're brand new, they're the best. And they are now one of the biggest sellers of arms to other countries because they have so much, they can't possibly use that much. 700,000 rifles, and rifles and guns, they call it. 700,000, mostly brand new, you know, brand new stuff. We just dump it over there and many other things. So this is what happened. So that's April Fool. We have a military that has to get back on track, and they don't want to. We've proposed mandatory electric stoves and electric cars when everyone wants at least the option of choice. Because gas stoves cook better and gasoline cars go a lot longer. I have a friend who got an electric car. After 2 hours, he's like, where the hell do I get this thing? Where do I get electric, please? He used to drive for 12 hours. Now he drives for a very short period of time. But he's happy because he thinks he's helping the environment. I said, you're not helping the environment. you knew where the batteries were made, all made out of China. And they're all made with minerals and substance found in China. The substance we have is, and more than anybody else, is something that gets refined into gasoline. And we have more than, and they don't want to use it. This is a plot. We have people in the midst of the greatest crime wave in history that want to defund our police. That's April Fool's, isn't it? Right? Let's defund the police. You can't even get your car. You go to New York, nobody ever gets prosecuted. I'm the only one they go after. I go after. It's true. No, it's true. Nobody gets prosecuted. They go after me. I have a man, he's 75 years old. He got prosecuted because he didn't pay tax on a company apartment. Who does? I mean, do people pay? He didn't pay a tax on a company car. 75 years old, he has a company car. Didn't pay tax. I guess didn't pay tax on the education of his grandchildren. I paid for the education of his grandchildren. I have a lot of money. I pay for the education. They want to put him in jail. They put him in jail. Can you believe this? A crime, these crimes, fringe benefits, it's called. These crimes have never been prosecuted before. To the best of our knowledge, we've never seen anything like it. Only if it's somehow Trump related. Think of it. Didn't pay tax on the use of a company car. Most people wouldn't even know where to begin. What is it? Well, how much is the car? What? Think of it. Never been charged before that we know of. And they charged him criminally. And they put him in jail. And it's a disgrace to our country. And he's a fine man. Never had a problem. I don't think he ever had a parking ticket. And it's never happened before. How sad is it? And that's what's happening to our country. We're going Marxist. We're going... We have skipped socialism. That train has already left. But we have men being encouraged to compete against women in sports. Okay? Now think of it. You know the story I tell about the swimmer, where this great champion swimmer wants to win this race. She's worked so hard all her life, and she's looking up and down about... She's seen the same girls and women that she's fought and swam against, and then she looks to the right, same thing, but there's this giant standing right next to her. And he hurt her very badly because he went by her so fast that she suffered massive windburn during the race. The whole thing. I think he beat her by, 36 seconds, right? If you win by, she wanted to win, she could win. By an eighth of a second, she's going to win. She's worked all her life for this. All her life. She's going to win by an eighth of a second. She's going to set the U.S. record. She's a great athlete. He beat the record by 38 seconds. That's not right. That's not right. We have Antifa and BLM who hate our country and burn down our cities, and they're protected by law enforcement while we put great American patriots in jail and destroy their lives, right? It's an unbelievable situation. We're begging foreign nations for oil when we have far more oil than they have. I call it liquid gold. It's under our feet. We decide to stop drilling oil as it hits an all-time high. It hits the all-time high. Highest ever. We're going to stop drilling. Think of it. It's supposed to be the opposite. See, this is, again, it's April Fool's Day. Who would do that? We have some friends of mine who are great business people. They're here. You got a lot of good business people up here. But they hear that when the price goes high, that's when they start. No, the price hits an all-time high. And that was the day where he said, no drill, we're not going to drill. We're going wind. Let's kill all the birds. Let's destroy our plains and our beautiful oceans and seas and everything else. And then on top of it, we sell China millions and millions of barrels of cheap oil. We're selling it to China. We demand windmills be built on our oceans. We demand they go in our prairies and our mountains and our plains, only to realize that they're killing all our birds. And at a level that, you know, if you go out hunting and you happen to shoot a bald eagle, they put you in jail like for 5 years, right? They kill thousands of them with these windmills. Nothing happens. It's the most expensive and least reliable form of energy on our planet, extremely expensive. And the wind turbines are all made in China. Some are made in Germany, but most are made in China. We have a president whose son's laptop from hell gets taken over and exposes massive corruption like nobody's ever seen before. You think the father, did you ever hear this? Do you think the father was upset Dad, I left my laptop in a repair shop. Forgot to pick it up, and this repair guy went a little crazy when he saw what was on it. What's on it, son? Every crime that you've ever committed, Pa. Now, at what point does the father get angry? You know, like, this kid is not working out well for me. And then the FBI goes and convinces the media that it's Russian disinformation. Remember, they went over to see the people at Twitter and other media and other agencies also, but the FBI, can you imagine the good old FBI? I can't, it's hard to believe what's happened there. This is Russian disinformation. So if you hear anything about it, don't put it in, don't write, don't do it. Don't do it, you better not do it. Because it's Russian disinformation, it's not true. Even though they know that's a lie that they're telling them. And instead of doing that, they come after Trump. Let's go after Trump. Let's raid Mar-a-Lago. Nice secure place too. We have an FBI and Justice Department that does raid Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Placed under lock and key, a very, very powerful building, very secure, very thick walls. It was built actually as a Southern White House by Marjorie Meriwether Post and E.F. Hutton. They willed it over to the government. Jimmy Carter turned it back. He said it was too expensive. Can you believe it? And I say, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. But they asked if we could do a favor. They saw the room. They're having very good discussions with NARA, which is always supposed to do. And we looked at the room. They asked us, would you do us a favor? They came down and looked at it. I told them, absolutely, go down and look. They looked at the room. They, I think, found everything in order. It was sealed. There wasn't stuff laying all over the garage floor. What a pigsty that place was, right? It's classified now. But they looked at the room. They made a request. Could you put on an additional lock? We had a strong lock. Could you put on additional? I said, absolutely. Let them put it on. Tell them. We put on additional. And then they came in and they raided Mar-a-Lago after that. And we were having very good discussions with NARA. But of course, NARA is very radical left. You know, they have red flag. I don't know. Does anybody know this? It's red flag, meaning danger. The Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. Can you imagine? This is what we're dealing with. They have it red flagged. But so they raided. But if you take a look at it, and if you look at all these things, all of these things that I could name, I was going to go longer, but we want to get to who the hell your next boss is going to be, okay? I was going to go a lot longer, but honestly, I said, you know, I'm not sure the cameras have that much time. Look at all that press. Look at all that media. That's because this man, this great man's leaving. That's why. That's because Steve is leaving and he's coming with us. Thank goodness. If he wasn't coming with us, I might just have to forget about New Hampshire and just mark it down to a loss. But with Steve, I don't think we can lose. I don't think we can lose. I think with Steve, we're going to mark it down to a victory. In recent weeks, I've begun to introduce our bold, ambitious agenda to control and confront the colossal disasters that Joe Biden is leaving in his wake, what he's done to this country, the damage. I say all the time in the rallies, which is starting very soon, even though it's still very early. I almost, they're forcing me into the rallies, you know. Why isn't he doing rallies 2 years early, you know? But we're going to do them soon. We should. I think we should do a big one up here, Steve, okay? Let's do a big one. They love our rallies. Yeah, bigger than they've ever been, too. And the reason, you know, it's bigger, it's hotter, there's more enthusiasm now. I'm in Florida, and I'm driving over to a big meeting, a destination. We go different ways sometimes. And they're driving over, and we're passing signs. And every lawn has Trump 2024, Trump, the spirit. And the spirit is because they knew what they had, and now they look at what's happening to our country. So the spirit's even greater. Within hours of my inauguration, we will restore every border security measure of the Trump presidency. We had it so good. To quickly achieve the most secure border in U.S. history again, just as we had 2 years ago, and I'll ask Congress to establish criminal penalties for any future administration that releases millions and millions of people that you don't want in our country. And I don't say that as a bad person. I mean, I have a bigger heart than anybody. But we don't want their prisoners, and we don't want people that are living in mental institutions, and we don't want terrorists in our country. We don't want it. We're going to be paying a price for a long time. We have to get them out. They poisoned our country, the people who launched this invasion, because it really is an invasion. We believe those people belong in jail. Something has to happen. You know, when they say conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican or independent, it's really what people of common sense. It's not even conservative. It's people. It's just common sense. You want to have borders. You want to have voter ID. You want to have these things. And it's just, look, there's two reasons this could be happening. The list that I read, and there's so many more, but the list that I read, there's two reasons. They're stupid, which they're not, because they're great at cheating at elections. They're not stupid. They're vicious. No, anybody that cheats like that can't be stupid. But they're either stupid or they hate our country. And it has to be they hate our country, because who would allow this invasion of our country to take place? Despite 2.5 years of working and all of the things we did, I mean, to get this stuff in place, and then they just walk away from it. It's we worked 2.5 years to get it. We had to negotiate with Mexico and stay in Mexico. We had a, you know, that was another deal. I think I pulled another tariff one on that one, too. We're going to charge you so much. But they were great. And they understand it, too. They really understand it. And I came up with the name Caravan because we had caravans of 15, 20,000 people pouring in. I'll tell you what, we had it stopped pretty early. But now if you look at these caravans, these are massive, massive caravans, and they have no idea who these people are coming into our country. They're walking in unabetted. There is nothing, that nobody's asking them about health. Or, it's hard to get in. I have so many people. Can you help me become a citizen? I say, yeah, go to the southern border, just walk across the line. You know, I have a guy, rich guy, wants to become a citizen. And he's gone through everything. He's gone to school to study and this and this and that. He's been working for 11 years. He hasn't been able to pull it off, okay? And I finally said to him, you know, you've been working so hard. Why don't you just go down to Mexico and sort of start walking across our border? They'll take you gladly. They won't even talk to you. Now, how ridiculous it is, you know, when you think people study and they work and they're on lists for years and years and years trying to come into our country legally, which we want all of those people we can get. Everybody agrees to that, right? But you have other people that are prisoners and that are very ill in many different ways, including mentally, and they just walk into our country. It's just crazy. And once they're in, they never get out. Although we took out thousands and thousands of MS-13 gang members, they were really killing pieces of... They were killing Long Island and other places. Under Biden, fentanyl, heroin, meth, and other legal drugs. These are lethal drugs, absolutely lethal drugs, are pouring across our wide open border at levels never seen before and 10 times greater than just 2 years ago. Think of it, 10 times. Devastating communities all across our state. The drug cartels are waging war on America, and it's time that America wage war on the cartels. We should. You know, I got very badly criticized by some of the rhinos, mostly, that said, oh, behind the scenes, he was saying that maybe he's going to hit Patriot missiles into these drug dens. And they announced it, you know, one of the stupid people, like a Bolton or somebody. These are stupid people. But they said, he's going to go into those and he's going to hit him with a Patriot missile. And I said, oh, well, that's going to be a couple of days of bad publicity. Except everybody said, what a great idea that is. You know, it's like my poll numbers went up. It's crazy. This is a crazy world we're living in. And we have to be very careful because we have a very fragile country. This is a very fragile place. Just as we destroyed ISIS, you know, I destroyed ISIS in 3 weeks. You know that General Dan Kane. Raisin Kane. I said, what's your name? Sir, my name's Raisin Kane. Raisin Kane, when I went over to Iraq, because I said, why aren't we beating ISIS? Raisin Kane, he was central casting. Most of you heard the story, but he did a great job. And I was told in Washington by the Washington generals, you know, I call them the television generals. They're not our real generals. We have great generals. We have a great army, great military. And I created Space Force, which is a big deal. Turned out to be very important. But General Raisin Kane, I said, what's your name? Sir, my name is Kane, Sir Raisin Kane. I said, I'm going to like you. Are you kidding me? Your name is Raisin Kane? This is a, Then I said, I was told it takes 3 years to get rid of ISIS, and maybe we couldn't even do it in that by Washington. That's why I'm over. I actually flew to Iraq to meet with the generals. Sir, we can do it in 3 weeks, sir. I said, no, no, no. Say it one more time. We can do it in 3 weeks. Well, why haven't they done it? Sir, they didn't do it because I shouldn't say this, sir. In fact, I won't say it because, you know, a military person is not supposed to say it. I said, why didn't you convince them to do it the way you want to do it? It's not my place to do, sir. I'm in the military and I have to take orders. And they came in from Washington, told us what to do. Even if I disagree with them, I have to take orders. I mean, I sort of understand that. I'm not sure I fully understand it because it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But militarily, I guess it does. I said, so, General, what would you do different? I met him at the base of Air Force One with another general and a drill sergeant. These guys are all better looking than Tom Cruise. You got to see these guys. They are like perfect human beings. The pilots on Air Force One were landing in the desert. We're landing, and I'm saying, they told me, sir, turn off your lights, please. Why? An hour before landing, they said, please turn off your lights, sir. Why? Why would I turn off? Because we're landing. I said, well, you mean we've spent $7 trillion in the Middle East and we can't land there after spending $7 trillion? And by the way, millions of people killed, if you include the other side, which I include. But we spent trillions and trillions. They said, turn off your light. Then they come in, they not only turn off the lights, they put down the shades. It was so dark. So we're an hour out, and I went up to the front of the cockpit because I love going with these guys, seeing how great they are. You'd have best pilots. Best pilots fly Air Force One, the best. They take the best pilots. These guys are something. Anybody fly Air Force One in this room? No? Huh? I should have heard some guy over there. But the best pilots, so we're out there. And we're getting ready to land. He said, I said, Captain, I'm getting a little nervous. I don't see any lights. Where's your runway? Sir, it's right ahead. He said, I have pretty good vision, Captain. I don't see anything ahead. It's there, sir. And then you hear, you know, the mechanical, they call it a mechanical voice. It's a computer. Beautiful voice, actually. 1,000. 1,000 means you're at 1,000 feet. That's very low. That's like a 10-story building. 1,900. 800, 700, I'm saying, Captain. I said, I'm sitting back there, I'm trying to be, Captain, I don't see a runway up there. No, we're fine, sir. This guy, you had to see the guy, crew cut, handsome as hell. I could take him to Hollywood tomorrow if I was an agent, I'd make him a movie star, all of these guys. Like central casting, everything is perfect, you know, perfect. I don't think they ever had a problem in their life. So this perfect-looking guy with a perfect-looking co-pilot and perfect-looking people all over the place. I never saw so many people operate a plane, but these are minor details. That's why it's called Air Force One in the United States, right? We have 5 telephone operators. I might make one call, right? I'll call our first lady. How you feeling? Everything good? Boom. They wait for me to make calls. So we're landing. We're getting 700. I say, so, Captain, I say, sir, it's fine. And so 600, 500. 400. Then he goes 300. So now we're 300 feet over, which is nothing. And Captain, we're okay, right? Yes. Yes, sir. And then all of a sudden, 200, 100. I just close my eyes. Bing, bing, boom. Land. Perfect. No lights, nothing. I said, good. In fact, I checked immediately. I wanted to see whether or not I could award myself as president the Congressional Medal of Honor. For, right? I wanted to see, but I don't know, Steve. I don't think it would have. I don't think it would have played. I don't think the fake news media back there would like it. They wouldn't be happy with that. Can you imagine if I awarded? They said, this is not good. But I don't think I had the right. But anyway, I got off the plane, I see General Kennedy. He said, no, sir, no, we can take it 3 weeks. We can do it in 3 weeks. He said, sir, would you like to rest? I'll never forget. I'm walking off and these beautiful looking soldiers are there, generals and colonels and everybody. It's like central casting. You could make a movie. If I took a camera, I would have made a movie out of it. But I walk, I say, he says, sir, would you like to rest up? I said, no, I don't want to rest up. Let's go right to work. Now, do you think Biden would say that? I don't think he'd rest for 3 days. He'd rest for 3 days and then they'd walk him back to the plane. They wouldn't have a discussion. No, I said, let's go to your room. So we went up to this gorgeous room. This is a fortress. This is an incredible fortress with, you know, 22-inch walls of concrete. I mean, this is really an amazing thing. And we go into this area that's very secure, no lights at all, practically. Then we turn the lights on, there are no windows. I mean, just purely, it's a bunker, really. It's a bunker of highly sophisticated stuff. And I said, so why can you do it in such a short period of time when they told me in Washington they probably couldn't do it in 3 years? Well, sir, we'd do it differently. How would you do it differently? Well, they only attacked from this location, and we're very far away. By the time the planes got there, we had to pretty much turn back. We didn't have any time. But, sir, I'd attack them from the front. I'd leave from here. We have many other bases, temporary bases in many cases, but they have runways. That's all we need, sir, is a runway. We don't have that fancy. And I'd attack them, sir, from 7 different locations. We're fully equipped. And I'd hit them from the front, and I'd hit them from the back. I'd hit them from up top, and I'd hit them from below, sir. And they wouldn't know what the hell hit them. And you know what, sir? I think we're doing it in about 3 weeks. I said, why didn't you tell this to these people? Not my place, okay? I said, General, let me give this a little thought. I go back to Washington. I said, you sure you can do this? Yes, sir, I can do this. We can do this properly, the way it should be done. I'm telling this story, I'm telling this story because we have an incredible military, and you have to understand that. When you see these blundering idiots that leave $85 billion worth of equipment behind, the best equipment in the world that I bought. I bought the best Apache helicopters, I bought it. I rebuilt our entire military. We had great people. You know, we had some people that got in through the rhinos and got in some bed. But, I mean, for the most part, we had incredible. We rebuilt the entire military. I tell you this because you see these blood fools on television that should be standing in front of the church. I don't remember. Nothing to do. I'm standing on the front of the church that these terrorists tried to burn down. Saying, oh, they wished they didn't walk. Because they did. I tell you what, these are fools. Telling you because we're amazing. So after a short period of time, they hit them hard. 100% of ISIS was gone. That was it. 100% was gone. 100%. So we have a great military, but we have some fools right now. We will eliminate federal funding for any school that pushes critical race theory or
that money to build our factories. We will end the Chinese economy.
essential goods and replace them with products made in America and New Hampshire. And I force China to sell any current holding in the United States that puts our national security at risk. They're buying land right next to our very important military base. Hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes and tariffs from China. Think of that, hundreds of billions of dollars. I gave it to the farmers because they were treated badly. And it was just peanuts compared to what I took in. The farmers love me. I love the farmers, they better love me. But some of this guy come in and say how great he is for the farmers. No, I don't think they would buy it. Took in $28 billion for the farmers, gave them checks, split it around, everybody got it. Because what China did to the farmers was incredible. And we brought any back from China. The taxes and tariffs, it's expensive for them to go back. And no president has ever done anything like it. And no president took in hundreds of billions, think of that, billions, not millions, billions of dollars, took in hundreds of billions of dollars from China. Not one other president took in 10 cents, not 10 cents. They never had the courage to talk about 10 cents. And I got along great with President Xi, but he understood that we knew what the game was. And then when COVID came, I didn't get along because I said that was too much, just too much what they did with the Wuhan lab. It came out of the Wuhan lab, and I said that for a long time. It came right out of the Wuhan lab. We'll crack down hard on violent crime, investigate radical left-wing prosecutors. These are radical left-wing prosecutors who just are absolutely horrible, horrible people. And if necessary, federal assets and Democrat-run cities to restore law and order. You know, the Democrats are supposed to do that. You have to get permission in theory to go in. Next time, it's one thing I do different. I did it for a reason. I wanted to show how bad they would be, and they were just so bad. Seattle, they took over Seattle. Minneapolis, look at that. But they took over the police station. And then ultimately, I said, I thought we were sending in the National Guard. We sent it in. But you're supposed to wait for the governor or the mayors to ask for approval, and I wouldn't wait very long, I will tell you. I did it the right way. The one thing that I have shown how bad they are and how dangerous they are, because they would never call. They could have a city or state taken over, and they would not call for military help. But we came into, as an example, we remember that 7 days it was going, and then you have CNN saying, not much is happening. And the reporter behind the whole city, have you ever seen that? We're here. There's been some minor skirmishes, not bad. Behind him, the entire city is like on flames. So I'll support a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on members of Congress. It's time. And only a non-politician would do that. A lifetime ban on lobbying by former members of Congress, because I see the things that are happening. And also cabinet members. And a ban on members of Congress getting rich by trading stocks with insider information like Nancy Pelosi and her husband. We will keep America out of foolish foreign wars, just as I did as Commander-in-Chief, and I will restore it's called peace through strength. By the way, everyone thought when I ran, they said, this guy's going to be a good war. Remember Crooked Hillary? He's going to cause a war in his first week in office because they think that's my personality type. It's actually the opposite. My personality kept us out of war. And I told you before, would have never happened with Russia. Would have never gone in. Putin would have never, ever gone in. And even now, I could solve that in 24 hours. It's so horrible. And those cities are demolished now. I'll bet you have millions. It could be millions of people. How can you? You know, they bomb a city to the ground. These big buildings come tumbling down. They say two people were injured. Not two people. They lie. I mean, they're lying. But if I were president, you would have zero chance that war would have happened. And even now, as bad as it is, should have never, ever happened. I mean, the country, how does it ever rebuild those magnificent buildings that are 1,000 years old with the gold domes? You can't do that. But it would have just so sad to see that a deal would have been made very quickly. I'm not even sure a deal would have had to be made. I don't think he would have never done it. And let's see what happens with China and Taiwan, because they see how incompetent we are. So let's see what they're going to do there. But we will root out the deep state and stop the weaponization of federal agencies, because there's a weaponization like nobody's ever seen. We will use every tool at our disposal, we'll give to Steve, to defend election integrity, and we will dismantle the illegal censorship regime and bring back free speech to America. And as they say in New Hampshire, live free or die. That's pretty good, right? Live free. So, yeah, that's good. Proud of that, right? That's right. Live free or die. This is just the beginning of our agenda. I look forward to returning many times. I'll be here many times. I'll be with you. I like it here, first of all. I guess I didn't. Maybe I wouldn't be back so much, but I love the people here. The great spirit, the incredible people. Thank you. Who said that? Who? Stand up. That's the nicest one. Thank you very much. Very nice. Thank you. I appreciate it. 1 year from now, we will win the New Hampshire primary. And then with the help of the good people of this state, I love the people, we are going to take back our country, and we'll take back the White House, and we're going to straighten out the United States of America. Okay? And God bless you all. Now I'm going to introduce the Chairman Stepanek, who is going to do a very important thing. He's going to make an announcement, and the announcement is who is going to be the next New Hampshire GOP chair. So whoever that is going to be, I'm going to immediately start treating him very nicely, because he'll have a big impact on the election. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Steve, you take over. Thank you very much. Let's hear it for President Trump. It is USA, 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 USA. We now come to what all of you came here for, and that is not only to see the president, but to elect a new chairman to replace me. And it's my great honor to introduce the next chairman of the New Hampshire Republican Party, Chris Hager. Chris, I turn the meeting over to you.
Okay. Thank you all. And Steve, thank you for your 4 years of service. And President Trump, thank you for returning to New Hampshire and for all the great things you've done for our country. Thank you so much. We know that President Trump, he's on a tight schedule for his next event, and just happens to be in South Carolina. And the South Carolina chairman, Drew McKissick, was just elected as the vice chairman of the RNC, a great man. So thank you. I just have a few comments and announcements. But first, I want to thank the Salem committee for hosting here, and the principal of the high school. Just fantastic work that they've done. To replace my position as committee man, I want to announce by next Friday, if anyone's interested, please contact me. I'll give you the process for that. The e-board will select by 2/3 majority who that replacement will be for the 1 year. So there'll be an email out to that as well. My finance chair nominee for the board coming forward will be Mary Jane Beauregard here. I hope that she's confirmed. First e-board meeting will be February 6th. We've got a lot of work to do, so we're not going to waste any time. We're going to move that meeting up to Monday. And on April 1st, April Fool's Day, we're going to pull one on the Democrats. We're going to do our statewide strategy meeting for the e-board and some other selected folks. So make sure your county chairman know what you're thinking. By then, I've got six committees we're going to kick off. Election analysis, first responder outreach, First Nation host committee, fundraising, media relations. And then we have town organizations, Young Republican Outreach, digital messaging with the War Room, Tiger Teams, small business outreach, gun owners and gun shops, pro-life, and immigrant outreach. We're going to start all those within the next month. If you're interested, contact me or Elliot, but be ready to work. Don't show up to sit around and listen and pontificate. We're going to work, okay? I'd also like to announce, I talked to Charlie Kirk yesterday, and Turning Point Action will be hiring to outreach to young Republicans and young conservatives in New Hampshire this year. I'd also like to thank all the folks who voted, not only for me, but who supported Lou. It was a very spirited and very positive campaign, much different than what we see in some other campaigns. And so I am hoping that Lou will find a spot that he wants to do in the party. I'd love to have him on the fundraising team with Mary Jane, but it's up to Lou. And whoever wins the other races or doesn't, there's a seat at the table for everyone, every single person. Everyone. The last thing I like to do is just say everyone is welcome in our party. Everyone. Conrad Schleffler from Cornish, you're welcome. Hannah and Anthony, high school students back there somewhere, you are welcome. Yep. Jennifer Maxwell, young Republican woman, you're welcome. All of you are welcome in the party. You all have a voice. No one will be pushed away. No one. Okay? We need to have a bigger tent, not a smaller tent. We don't lose with a smaller tent. We lose with a bigger tent. So thank you all. Again, Mr. President, thank you. And Steve, thank you again.
Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. They knew.
Okay, thanks for watching, guys. That was a great speech. And I'll see you on my next broadcast. I love you all. Bye-bye.